You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperia of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, it seems like our Monday episodes are often jam-packed, and this may be our most jam-packed Monday episode ever.
Definitely. What a weekend. You know, the Dodgers did win 2 out of 3, and that's not even close to the most important thing we're going to talk about today. So, yeah, definitely a wild Monday we got, and I know some of you maybe probably had to wait a whole day because a lot of news broke on Saturday. So, well, thank you for hanging on.
Yep. So we are going to talk about this the series win over the Marlins, obviously. We're going to talk about Corey Seager's injury, and then we're going to talk about the two big roster moves. I guess neither of them have officially been active roster moves yet as we're recording this, but the signing of Albert Pujols and the trade for Yoshi Setsugo. So that's the plan for today in basically that order. But first, we want to remind you, please follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so we've talked a lot in the past, Vince, about the least satisfying way to win a three-game series is probably winning the first two and then losing the last one because you end the series on that sour note. But the Dodgers, that's what they did. They won the first two relatively convincingly and then lost on Sunday. Really, it was, if you take away one error or one bad pitch, the Dodgers sweep the series, unfortunately. That error was followed by that bad pitch, which turned into another Adam Duvall 3-run home run. It's frustrating to me to have Adam Duvall do things just because Adam Duvall sucks. And no offense if Adam Duvall's mom is listening to this podcast, but your son's not very good at baseball, and it makes me mad when he hits 2 3-run homers against the Dodgers in one weekend.
Well, there's one thing he is good at, and that's occasionally running into a pitch and or hitting a mistake. And you know, that's what happened. He got a hold of a couple of them. Luckily, one didn't hurt, one did hurt. But it was I was almost ready to declare the Dodgers like all the way back, even with everything that happened this weekend in terms of losing Seager. But winning bullpen games with a lineup that has less than like 4 starters in it has been a staple of the Dodgers the last few years. They just didn't get it done yesterday. They were really close though. So the Dodgers are almost all the way back.
Yeah, without that error or that bad pitch. Yeah, they do win a game that, like you said, it was a bullpen game. Didn't even use any of their good relievers. And, you know, if Chris Taylor hadn't been scratched at the last minute, he's playing second base and the error probably doesn't happen. You know, not that Chris Taylor never makes errors, but I think he's a better fielder than Sheldon Noisy. I think that's safe to say.
And Sheldon Stonehands Noisy.
Stonehands Noisy. Yeah, and that thing, it looked like he was going in slow motion. I could tell the error was going to happen the whole time. And that's easy to say after the fact. There's probably plenty that look like it's going to be an error and then they aren't. But, yeah, it was frustrating. And then Edwin Uceta just hung the pitch to Adam Duvall. But like we said, the Dodgers did win the series. For me, one of the big takeaways from the series is Joe Kelly. He pitched on back-to-back days, Saturday and Sunday, 1-2-3 innings both times. And I said after his first appearance back from the injured list when he struggled and also didn't get helped much by his defense, that we were going to have to give him more than one appearance. You know, you can't judge anybody by the first inning they throw in 8 months or whatever, especially after a serious surgery. And Joe Kelly looked better on Saturday and Sunday. Still not much swing and miss. He didn't have any strikeouts in either of those innings, I don't think. It was just a softish contact and then soft contact on Saturday and then harder but still ineffective contact on Sunday. What were your Joe Kelly takeaways?
He looked good. Realistically, this is probably the first time he's thrown healthy for the Dodgers or at least in 2 years, because he said towards the end of 2019 when he started feeling it. So, you know, if you have, he's been throwing modified, and at least in his regard, for the last two seasons. So this is the first time he's throwing non-modified, non-regulated, kind of letting it go, finding his feet. And, you know, for him to go back-to-back and be productive both days, that's a good sign. We know he couldn't go back-to-back back in 2019, and that's what kind of hurt them and ended up hurting them. Or not back-to-back, that was two innings. But similar styles. He could never really go back-to-back anyways. And, yeah, it was good to see. And that's, like we mentioned before, when before we even saw him, a healthy Joe Kelly's really going to help this bullpen right now, especially with, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Bruce Dar Gratterall. Kenny Jansen looks good, but, you know, it'd be nice to have someone else. Jimmy Nelson's looking good, but, you know, potentially he could be pitching in different innings. Blake Treinen, everyone's looked good in different spurts, but just having another extra arm where he was an arm last year when he wasn't really throwing. He didn't throw many high leverage innings, but they did bring him to close out one of the NLDS games. So it's good to see, and hopefully he can keep it going. And I think he'll, some of that swing and miss stuff and everything will come as he gets more. I mean, he's only throwing throwing 96. We know he can ramp it up to 98, 99, even touch 100 at times. So once he gets back to that, I think that's where the swing and miss will start coming back.
Yeah, I think so too. And just the simple fact of him throwing a fastball and looking like he has an idea where it's going to go, we haven't seen that version of Joe Kelly in a long, long time.
Definitely, and that's the good part. You know, I feel like he knows where he's going now, so that's a good sign.
Absolutely. One other bit of good news for the bullpen is that David Price is being activated today, Monday, assuming no setbacks between when we're recording this on Sunday night and when they're planning on doing that. And so that will help with the bullpen. It'll be part of a flurry of roster moves that, you know, we're going to talk more in the third segment today about two guys who we know they're going to have to add to the roster soon. But David Price coming back, obviously Edwin Uceta was probably only in the big leagues for this bullpen game. And, maybe a couple other guys might be spending some time in AAA. But David Price coming back is, I think, a really good thing.
Yeah, it's huge for the bullpen right now, but also down the stretch. You know, healthy David Price, we've mentioned, could be a factor down the stretch, whether in whatever role they need him in. Early on, we thought it may be a starter. Now we know it's more of a reliever. And just having him, you know, letting him get stay in it. He was getting right back into it, looking really good. Then he gets hurt. It didn't take as long as we may have thought with the hamstring strain, since he's not really running. So it's good to see him get back, and he's really going to help the bullpen. Right now, I forgot how many guys they had. Every time I would look in the bullpen in Sunday's game, and I'd be, I forgot Mitch White was still on the roster, and Vesia, and, well, Clevenger I knew, but there's a lot of guys coming out of that bullpen that I did not expect. And, you know, Gonsolin's supposed to throw three innings this week coming up. He should be back soon, and the Dodgers are starting to round into shape. McKinstry and Bellinger are supposed to start rehab assignments this week, so even with the loss of Seager, which we're going to talk about next, there's still a lot to be excited for.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we're going to come back in a minute and talk about the bad news from the weekend, Corey Seager's injury. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. I'm not a financial expert. I don't even play one on TV. And so I'm not going to give you financial advice. But decades of data show that investors who trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. You should team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about the Dodgers and all your other favorite sports teams. Vince and I host a room for Locked On Dodgers once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Locker Room is the perfect place to join conversations around the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You can chat with us every week and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Dodgers podcast through our Locker Room conversations. Be sure to join us this week. We'll go live on Locker Room immediately after the Dodgers-D-backs game on Thursday night. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. Like I said, we'll be going live after Thursday night's game against the D-backs, and we can't wait to hear all your thoughts on the Dodgers. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, Vince. So the bad news this weekend, we thought that it's kind of weird. The Dodgers signed a future Hall of Famer in Albert Pujols, and that ended up maybe not even being the biggest news of Saturday. We're still going to talk about that in the next segment, but we're going to talk about the more negative thing that came out of Saturday, which was that Corey Seager got hit on the hand with a pitch and fractured the bone in his hand, the fifth metacarpal, I believe it is, which is basically the bone on the side of your hand below your pinky. So not the pinky bone, but the, if you didn't have skin, it would be the extension of the pinky bone in your actual hand. And coincidentally, it's the same exact bone my son broke 2 weeks ago. And my son is in a cast for 6 weeks. And there was a doctor, at least he has a blue check mark, and he claims to be a doctor, on Twitter, Robert Clapper, orthopedic surgeon, according to his Twitter bio. And he said, great news, fractures to the fifth metacarpal heal fast, not the usual 6 weeks of other bones. Hashtag Seager back soon. And that is good news if that's true. I know my son was told he's in a cast for 6 weeks, but I assume that this might be a case where rich and famous athletes get more attention from doctors. And so the doctor for a 14-year-old boy probably says, yeah, let's cast it for 6 weeks, and then we'll take the cast off and you'll be fine. Whereas Corey Seager's doctor might say, okay, we'll check it again in 3 weeks and see how it's healing, and then we'll check it again a week after that and see how it's healing. And so I'm guessing Corey Seager might be back sooner than my son.
If you pay him enough, Jeff, they'll check him every week if you really want. But yeah, the Seager, you know, got hit and immediately came out, which was a bad sign. You know, we've seen even Mookie, when he got hit that one time, he ended up staying in more so out of a little bit more necessity than anything else. But Seager came out real quick, didn't look good. The swelling was still there. They did the x-rays after the game, ended up being fracture. We found out the next day, yesterday, that it would not need surgery or, you know, any pain or anything like that. It's just going to heal on its own, which is a good sign in itself. But yeah, the thing with that we've seen with this, you know, with guys that break bones in their hand or whatever else it is, the recovery time and the time it takes to get back to your swing is two different things. He might be ready in a month, but he might not have his swing back maybe 6 to 8 weeks or even, you know, 6 to 8 weeks even after he comes back. So it sucks that he's out. The Dodgers have enough defensively. We saw Gavin Lux make a really great play at shortstop and has been really great at shortstop in the times that he's been. So defensively, they're covered. Offensively, they're going to, you know, have to figure things out a little bit. But with Bellinger and McKinstry coming back, hopefully that works out in a good favor. And it's just the crazy thing that we had talked about all offseason once the Padres made all their moves and the Dodgers and, you know, how he said the Dodgers – everything would really have to go wrong for them to not win the division. And the baseball world, the baseball gods are trying the Dodgers a little bit. You know, Bellinger's been out with a hairline fracture on a kind of a freak play. Seager's going to be out now for 4 to 6 weeks, however long it is, on a hit-by-pitch. You know, they lost Dustin May for the year. So all those things are happening. The Dodgers are still there, treading water, and still a good team. So they're going to have to try a little harder, I guess, but hopefully not.
Yeah, it is interesting. As far as the swing goes, that's Seager's bottom hand, which is unfortunately the most important hand for a swing. You know, my son also broke his right hand, but he's a right-handed hitter, so he's actually still swinging the bat, you know, and just because the bottom hand is more important. And so he's we're still working on a swing. Corey's not going to be able to do that with his hand in a cast. He's going to have to, you know, start from scratch once he's out of the cast. You know, I'm sure he could still do some things, but for the most part, like you said, he's going to have to get his timing back, get his swing back. And so even if he's only in a cast for 3 or 4 weeks, yeah, we're probably looking at six to seven weeks before he's back and actually effective. But I agree, like you said, I think defensively, the Dodgers are probably a better defensive team with Lux at short and Taylor at second than with Lux at second and Seager at short. That I don't think they're enough better to make up for the offensive hit, but they are, especially once McKinstry and or Bellinger come back, they are pretty well equipped to deal with this, because realistically, once McKinstry turned into a true major leaguer, they had at least one more guy than they have positions for anyway. And so, you know, by being able to put McKinstry at second or Taylor at second, you know, it opens up a spot to keep McKinstry's bat in the lineup once he and Bellinger are both back. And they still might, you know, with Matt Beatty hitting like he is, depending on how long AJ Pollock's out, you know, the Dodgers are still, they're getting close health-wise to being back to having more depth than they know what to do with. Unfortunately, right now at this moment, they're in a situation where they had Luke Raley and Sheldon Noisy both in the starting lineup on Sunday, because that's where they are right now. And so we're going to have to hope that they can, like, I mean, they're starting a series against a bad D-backs team that is also shorthanded this week. They have four games against them, and that hopefully will help them, and maybe they can get some health. Maybe McKinstry's back by the Giants series. I don't think it's likely, but you know, hopefully they can win 3 or 4 games from the D-backs in the next few days to kind of give themselves a little cushion based on the fact that they are shorthanded right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I tweeted last night, and we're all thinking it, the Luke Raley at-bats are just difficult to watch. They're getting to the Edwin Rios point of, you don't even think he's going to make contact. I mean, just make contact. And, you know, it sucks, obviously, you know. And then the Noisy was in the lineup. He actually had a good hit, but then ended up costing him on defense because Taylor had wrist soreness. So it's just these little things that keep adding up that end up getting these guys that shouldn't be starting in the starting lineup, or, you know, these guys end up coming up in pinch hitting in key situations. So, yeah, they're close to, even with Seager out, when Bellinger and McKinstry are back, it's pretty much close to, you know, full strength as they can be, obviously, without Seager. We've seen them play without Seager for a long period of time before, and then Manny Machado ended up coming around, but they didn't really have a backup shortstop capable of being an everyday guy. Charlie Culberson's was a great guy and played really well with the Dodgers, but he just wasn't that guy. Here now they have Lux, and, you know, not in a good way or bad way or anything, just an observation that seeing Lux at shortstop, and if he can keep this hitting turnaround that he's had the last couple weeks, the Dodgers can get a little preview of what it's going to look like if Corey Seager doesn't end up staying.
Yeah, or at least get a feel for how close they want to back up the Brinks truck to Corey Seager's house, because,
yeah, that too.
You know, yeah, like, if Gavin Lux can hit defensively, I think he's going to be good at shortstop, and so I don't know that he could. I don't know that he could be good enough in the next 6 weeks to make the Dodgers say, okay, we're going to let Corey walk. But it definitely gives them more information that it would have been hard for them to get if Seager was healthy.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and I think that's basically it. Basically, summary version of Seager is, defensively, they're going to be fine. Offensively, it's a big hit because Corey Seager is one of the best hitters of baseball. That's the summary, right?
Yep.
All right. We're going to come back in a minute, and we're going to talk about the other big news from the weekend. The signing of Albert Pujols, and less big, but along the same lines, so we'll lump them together, the trade for Yoshi Setsugo. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so on Saturday, the big news before the game, before Seager got hurt, we thought the biggest news, basically the biggest news we've heard in a while, was that the Dodgers signed Albert Pujols. And then during the game on Saturday, they traded for Yoshi Setsugo, who had been DFA'd by the Rays. Let's talk about Setsugo first, just because it's a more minor deal and, you know, save the best for last. But Setsugo was a very good hitter in Japan and he was decent last year with the Rays. He had an OPS plus right at 100, even though he batted under 200, he showed some pop, was a decent hitter, didn't show the power they showed in Japan. And then this year he's just been really bad. And so it's a flyer, but Setsugo is a left-handed hitting, right-handed throwing, corner infield, corner outfield type, who has some potential to be a decent hitter. I assume the Dodgers are considering him off the bench. Basically, I imagine him taking Luke Rayleigh's roster spot basically as soon as is humanly possible.
More to that is basically taking Edwin Rios' spot that he had originally, where you first and third in some outfield. And I don't remember where I saw it. I know I saw it. I guess the Dodgers have seen some film and looked at film, and they think that I think the quote was a shell of himself from his time in Japan. I think they can fix him. The interesting note on that tweet also as well is that, well, you know, the Rays are also one of the more analytically driven teams, and if they didn't notice, but everyone can see something different, or you see a little bit different and have different ways of communicating it, whatever it is. So if they can get him going, I mean, this is a guy that it's very cheap. It's probably going to end up being a low, low, low prospect or cash. They can put him on the roster, see if they can fix him. If it doesn't work out, they can cut bait if they need to at any point, and it's not really going to hurt him at all. And it's a good one. I mean, he's a guy that has major league potential, power, major league potential, hitting. Like you said, more so than Luke Rayleigh, more so than probably DJ Peters at this point, more so than maybe even Sheldon Noisy at this point. And he's a guy that can help them if he can figure it out. And the biggest thing with him is that he struggled with velocity. I believe he had like a 254 WOBA against pitches over 95 miles an hour. Justin Turner struggled with velocity last year, and he's been hitting velocity a lot better this year. So whether it's something they can fix, or there's something maybe Turner can help him with, or whoever can help him with, that would be a big help. And he can, and like I said, fill that Edwin Rios role, especially now that Matt Beatty's elevated above that, kind of become more of a left fielder. Well, especially now with Pollock out, which is, we haven't even talked about that, but yeah, we'll see what he can do. But I'm excited to see if they can get him back to at least somewhat relevant.
And, you know, it lets them send Luke Rayleigh down to the minor leagues where he belongs, whether that's to get better at baseball or to at least never make us see him again. Either way works for me. Rayleigh, he's hit the ball hard a couple times, and he made a nice defensive play. But, yeah, he's just not currently a major leaguer, and so I don't think any of us will be heartbroken to see him. You could say kind of the same thing about DJ Peters, and DJ Peters is probably the guy most likely to lose his roster spot to Albert Pujols, just the right-handed bench bat kind of guy. Pujols signing with the Dodgers was something we didn't see happening. We talked about it in our live locker room chat last week, and I was snarky about it. I said, well, I'd rather have somebody who can still hit. And I've been thinking about it, and for me, basically what it boiled down to was I didn't expect Albert Pujols to sign a deal where he was going to be a guy who just pinch hits against left-handed pitchers. And if, according to the reports, that's basically the role that Albert Pujols signed up for. And hitting left-handed pitchers is the only skill that Albert Pujols has left. And so if he's really signing up to do the one thing that he's still good at, I'm 1,000% on board with it, because they need that, somebody who can hit left-handed pitchers off the bench. And he does bring that veteran presence that I talked about. You know, he's a World Series champion. He's a future Hall of Famer. There's a lot of good coming with it if they're really only going to let him hit against left-handed pitching, or, you know, not only, but 95% of his at-bats come against left-handed pitchers. I'm totally on board with it.
And based on the reports that we heard out of Anaheim is, you know, that's why he was upset with the Angels. They weren't playing him. He wanted to be an everyday player. Though, you know, these are reports from the Anaheim side, so it's very possible that they were trying to justify them cutting him and saying, hey, this guy wanted to play every day and he wasn't that good. So, you know, we don't know exactly what Pujols was thinking. Maybe he just wanted to be back on a winning team that's going to the playoffs. Maybe he, you know, wanted just a better situation. Whatever it was, clearly LA was the destination that he had in mind. I don't know if he reached out first or if the Dodgers reached out first. You know, if all the reports are, hey, Albert Pujols wants to be an everyday player, the Dodgers wouldn't be in. Somehow I had the report that, hey, I'm willing to accept a bench role, had to reach the Dodgers' ears, and, you know, that's what happened. And honestly, I was pretty shocked in general just because, like I said, all the reports were to the contrary of what Pujols wanted to be. And just it didn't seem like, you know, the Dodgers are born on versatility on the bench and things of that nature. And yeah, Pujols played third base when Rendon got hurt that one day. But Pujols can barely play first base. And yeah, like I said, can only hit left-handed pitching, really. And at the end of the day, if it's just a bench bat and they have the extra roster spot that they didn't have before with the 26th man, I'm completely fine with it. And I think the biggest in comparison that people are making over the weekend is with the game on the line or in a key situation, you rather have Albert Pujols at the plate or DJ Peters. And at this point, it's Albert Pujols.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, DJ Peters has potential to be a major league hitter at some point. He's probably not right now. And Albert Pujols against left-handed pitching still is. And if they, you know, I imagine what happened over the past week is that Pujols did put out feelers to a lot of teams and realized, oh, yeah, nobody is going to give me very much playing time. And so then it did come down to things like, okay, I want to win another World Series. What's my best chance to do that? And, you know, there was a need there. It's funny. We talked about Todd Frazier. We've talked about the general, you know, nebulous idea of a right-handed bat, a right-handed veteran bat. And even though we knew Albert Pujols was available, it just didn't seem realistic to us because we didn't think it was realistic to him, but he's coming. It'll be interesting to see what number he wears. Corey Seager is number 5. Pujols has been number 5 his whole career, and I can't imagine Corey would even consider giving up number 5. I can't imagine Pujols would even consider asking him to give it up. I'm thinking 55 probably. That's available, and it's just number 5 twice. That's how 55 works, so maybe that works. But yeah, I could see Pujols actually providing value to this team if he's put in situations where he's doing the one thing he's still good at.
Yeah, and I compared it to, you know, the bar is very low for, well, at least that I remember, Hall of Fame first baseman coming over late in their career to be a bench bat. Jim Thome came over, had over 600 home runs in his career, hit none with the Dodgers. Albert Pujols is at 667, I believe. So, you know, if he can get to 675 in a Dodger uniform, I'd be completely fine with that. Just filling in, you know, he'll get an occasional start maybe here and there, but it's basically going to be sixth inning and later if they need a bat off the bench against a left-handed pitcher or in a key spot. Go ahead, Albert Pujols, go ahead and do it, and I'm fine with it. And it's another one where it's low cost. If it doesn't work out, they can DFA him. It would be a blow to Pujols' pride, but it would be nothing, you know, it's not going to cost the Dodgers anything. They're only paying him the major league minimum anyways.
Yeah, he's costing them exactly the same as DJ Peters. Whoever's on the major league roster, they're paying the same amount too, so it might as well be the future Hall of Famer. And if he can end up somewhere between Jim Thome and David Freese on the effectiveness scale, it'll be worth it, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, added bonus if they end up winning the World Series and Albert Pujols is doing it with the Dodgers. And I like to troll Angel fans, so that'd be another added bonus to it.
Yeah. If any value he provides to the Dodgers, knowing the Angels are paying for it, will make you happy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, there will be a flurry of roster moves today for Price and Pujols and most likely Setsugo all being added to the roster. They are carrying an extra pitcher right now for this bullpen game on Sunday. So you figure two relievers and one position player, going down, probably, you know, I would guess Uceta and Vesia, or Uceta and White, one of those two, probably Vesia. And then, probably Luke Rayleigh, could be DJ Peters, one of those guys, and, heading down. And that's assuming there's no injured list stint for Chris Taylor for his sore wrist. Hopefully there's not. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But, the team that plays tonight against the D-backs is going to be a somewhat significantly different team than played yesterday against the Marlins.
Yeah, and just on that note, Kiber Ruiz is on the roster right now. And one reason he might stay up is that with the need for another middle infielder, maybe Austin Barnes might be, you know, they may take the three catchers and Barnes might be getting a little more ground balls at second base in pregame just in case, because like I said, with Seager out, Lex moves over, you know, Taylor, depending how he feels, and Noisy, you know, I prefer not to see Noisy playing second base that often anyways. So we'll see what happens, but that's a possibility of why Kiber might stay on the roster. Plus, he's also a better hitter than Luke Rayleigh.
And he's a switch hitter, and so there's a little bit of flexibility. So,
yeah.
All right, this was a little bit longer because it was a Monday episode with a ton of news. We'd love to hear your thoughts on any of this stuff. You know, we've heard from a lot of you over the weekend about Albert Pujols, partly because we had just talked about it on Friday's episode, and partly because it was huge news. So, you know, it's exciting. I'm excited to see him in a Dodger uniform and excited to see what the Dodgers can do against a depleted and bad D-backs team this week. Hopefully, add 4 wins to the ledger in the next 4 days because they could use it. So thank you for listening. If you haven't yet started following us wherever you get your podcast, please do that. If you're not listening every day, go ahead and add one or two days a week to what you're doing. Tell your friends and family. We would love that. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our phone number for voicemails or text is 323-863-LOCK-5625, and our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, how worried should Lakers fans be about their road back to the finals? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!